invitation, and I'm going to discuss today, like, it's one of the, I'm going to discuss today Seth Peckins, but Seth Peckins is not in Ethereum space. It's maybe Carol going to do that. I'm going to discuss Seth Peckins on a sphere. Actually, it is also very old problem, and not so, actually almost so the same old, because in the sphere packings in Euclidean space, three-dimensional space, appeared in 1611 in the Kepler's book, but it is this problem, the 13 spheres problem, also very old, almost only, how many, 83 years older, younger than Kepler's conjecture. The certain sphere problem asks the maximum number, we have a ball in three-dimensional space, and the question is, what is the maximum number non-overlapping balls can touch the central pole? This problem appeared in 1694, even known date, namely May 4th of 1694. It's a discussion between David Gregory and Isaac Newton, and commonly said that Newton believes the answer is 12, as we have here. Actually, it is both located on the vertices of the regular icosahedron. But you can see that some gap between both, and so maybe you have some feeling like all of them can be moved on one side, and to have there are room for the certain ball. And so Newton thought that maybe the answer is 12, and Gregory thought that maybe the answer is 13. After many years, after several wrong proofs. First proof appeared in 19th century. All of them, several proofs, but all of them were not correct. And finally, this problem was solved only in 1963 by Schutte and van der Waal. They proved that Newton was correct, and the answer is 12. But still, this problem is still. Mathematicians still interested about this problem, and there are several. And especially, they proved in the Schutte and van der Waal proved in 1953. Leach published very short two-page sketch of a proof, very elegant proof. And Agner and Sigler decided to include this proof in his book, the famous book Proofs from the Book. In the first edition, there are some chapters about this. About Leach proof, but however, they received a lot of angry letters because people said that this proof is not correct, is not complete. There are some gaps in the proof. And they decided, you can see what written in the second edition, that it also misses one of the old chapter about the problem of the certain spheres, which turned out to need detail that we could not complete. In a way that would make it brief and elegant. And so after that appeared several proofs, new proofs. People would like to find something like which really from the book. But however, you can see the list of publications. Meihara actually, I believe now that Hiroshi Meihara published one of them. He continues the idea of. He based on the same idea as Leach, and he published recently. He published two papers, and the second one, 2007, is titled like the searching sphere problem for undergraduates, something like that. First three proofs in the last 10 years, and they based on the same idea as Schutt and Wander waren. And Anstreicher, paper is based on completely different idea, namely on the Dossard method. I will tell you a few words about that later. It's another problem. We call it now the Thomas problem. It's also related. In some sense, it is extension of the of the certain sphere problems, of the Kissing number problems. Namely, we have the equation is the following: suppose we have a ball, central ball, and we consider around this ball n balls, but of the same radius, but not necessarily to be the same radius of the central ball. The question is what the maximum radius is of this n ball. It is equivalent with the following problem. We can see this here. A shadow. It's the same problem as a Peking circle on a sphere. The same thing. We have n circles to find on the unit sphere to find the maximum radius of this n sphere. Called Thomas problem. Actually, Thomas. I believe people consider this problem before Thomas, but Van der Wanden he gave this reference for this Dutch botanist. He's not a mathematician, Thomas. It has appeared in his PhD thesis about something like about pollen grains. Okay, the problem is the problem is the following: how much incongruent non-overlapping spherical caps can be packed on the surface of a unit sphere so that the angular diameter of spherical caps will be as great as possible? Under our case, for certain sphere, the question is what is the maximum diameter for certain circles. Equivalent that we have to prove that when we have certain circles, then we have to prove the diameter is less than 60. If we prove that this is less than 60, that it is equivalent that it is equivalent to the certain sphere problem. Let me a little bit some. To invite to define one function, functional better to say. Suppose we have let X be a finite subset of unit sphere S2, and denote by psi of X the minimum distance between distant points. It's very simple. And in other words, X is a spherical psi of X code. Usually people say, call the code like phi spherical code. If we say that some set of X is a phi code, where phi is a number, if and only if the minimum distance between distant points is at least phi. And traditionally, we can denote by dn. The largest with n points, when n is an integer number, the largest angular separation psi of x with cardinality when x has cardinality n, that can be attained on S2. In other words, d sub n is the maximum of psi of x where cardinality of x is equal to n. What is known about the Thomas problem? It is we will discuss today a little bit about the problem. Feinstein proved solved the problem. Actually, he found some upper bound for the n, and he solved the problem, the Thomas problem, for when n is equal to 3, 4, 6, 12, and infinity, because infinity means asymptotically. Schutte and Warden, by very different method, we're also going to discuss today, Schutte and Warden method, solved the Thomas problem for n, when n is equal to 5, 7, 8, and 9. Danzer continued to consider that also improved Schutte and Warden method, so-called irreducible gap method, and he solved the problem for when n is equal to 10 and 11. And independently, actually, this since arrangement for when we have 24 points is also very symmetric, and Robinson in 1961, even 2 years before Danzer, solved the problem for n when n is equal to 24. And so this is a complete list up to recently when Alexei Tarasov solved the problem. It is computer-based proof for when n is equal to 15. But anyway, this paper accepted, I got received less than one week ago, accepted by Discrete Computation Geometry. I expect actually that it will be able to wait maybe 2, 3, 4 years, but it's accepted if you compare with the story, with Hale's story, but it's much more faster. Okay. Here we have a list of in degrees, a list of it's all, up to 13 it's already solved, but it's still open for 14, 15, 16, 17, or other. Only one more case, which is already solved, is when n is equal to 24. So we have this list of for 14, 15, 16, and 17, it is open problem. Look at what the number is. 57.1367. It actually is very far from 50 degrees, right? But we have to. It shows how that it, even if for 60 to prove that D13 is less than 60 degrees. So it is show how to complicate it to solve the problem for 13. Okay, and today my goal today briefly discuss three main approaches for sphere packing in a sphere. Three main methods. The first method it's invented by Feldstadt for dimension 3, and Coxeter extended this bound for high dimension, actually, and we will discuss a little bit later. I will give you exact formulas, explicit formulas for that. And the second method is the method in which Schutte and van der Waarden and Danzer, Leach, and we also how we solve the Thomas problem for other. For how we solve the only one method actually for the Thomas problem is known now, and the third one it came from coding theory. It is called, we call this Delsarte method, or sometimes it's called linear programming and the SDP bounds. I have altogether 62 slides, right? I don't think I have a time to discuss everything, but however I prepared everything, even some details for the third one, but it's third one, it is, I'm sorry, but it's maybe too complicated, too much details. I need to introduce formulas like some orthogonal polynomials, but I'm just maybe only discuss history of that, and there's some general, I will explain some general formulas. Actually, already two months ago, we already discussed here and give two talks, right? And Christine Bashov gave, as well as Frank Valentin, also gave a talk about SDP approaches, and they already discussed here this method, as well as like several other talks. Okay, let us let's start from a definition. I already told you that traditionally people in coding theory say that the code called the set of points in a sphere in a unit sphere is a spherical phi code if and only if the distance x and y from the set x the distance is it's just that I made a mistake. It's inequality on the other side. Sorry. At least right at this is here at most. And this notation came from coding theory. They denoted by A of D of phi means the maximum cardinality of phi code in S to the D minus 1. So this D is dimension, phi is the distance, at least phi. In other words, actually, this problem is equivalent. We have three equivalent problems, namely a sphere, or it's also traditionally it's called also caps, packing of radius of radius phi over 2, of diameter phi. Or in other words, if you have a central, I told you this problem, it's also equivalent. If you have a central unit sphere to find and n to find an n balls of the same size around it to find maximum radius. Actually, this three of this problem is more or less equivalent. Okay, let's start from the first bound found by Laszlo Fischtot in 1943, his first publication. It gives us exactly, or this bound is the following. The cardinality, if you have maximum cardinality of a point of the set of points it is not greater than 2 pi over delta of phi plus 2. What is the delta of phi? Actually, it is area of a spherical regular triangle besides length phi. Actually, proof, I wrote this formula to understand how to prove that. Proof is, Laszlo Fischtot, he likes a lot this bound, and he gave in his book five independent proofs. But one of them, it's very natural. I cannot say that the simplest proof. I mean the following: if we have triangulation on a sphere, right, with n points, then we have actually any triangulation have to n minus four triangles. It follows from Euler characteristics that is denoted by delta area of a triangle. That is definitely if. Definitely, of regular triangles of length of the side length phi is definitely less than 4 pi, which is the area of a sphere, right? If you look at this formula, it immediately follows for n this inequality. What the problem is to prove that the minimum area of such arrangement, the minimum area of a triangle of such arrangement is at most at least delta of phi. If you fix it right, it is tricky. It's very nice. It's a very good exercise actually. And I forgot how it's called. It's about like area. What is it? He used some lemma. Actually, everything is written in his book. This formula is tight. I mean, we have equality instead of inequality for the case when number of points is equal to 3, 4, 6, and 12. So it immediately gives us a solution of the Samos problem for such number of points. And however, for all other cases, the fetch dot upper bound is not tight. And for instance, look how far it is from the real answer for the case when n is equal to 13. We have the answer is 16.92 degrees, but the real answer is 57.14. The reason is because it is assumed that we have regular triangulation. The most important that we have the Delaunay triangulation. Actually, we have forget about that. We have spheres on a point on a sphere, right? And the convex hull is a poly. It is a convex polytope, and so we have faces. All faces have to be regular triangles. But in for 13, I will show you later. But for 13 vertices, for 13 points, it is not. We have like some. We have not only regular triangles. We have also some quadrilaterals, but not necessarily squares. So that is why it is not tight. Coxeter in 1963 extended fetch dot bound. Actually, I forgot what to take from the library his book. Actually, it is paper, and 5 years later, it's also one of chapter of his famous book, 12 essays on geometry. And the formula is the following. Actually, he based on this very similar idea, namely, it is he cannot use Euler characteristic because Euler characteristic in dimension 3 and higher doesn't work. But he used the following idea. If you have a sphere packing, right? I consider just one particular simplex, and he estimates this gap. And so for the case for the Delaunay triangulation, all simplices are regular simplices. This guy is pi. We can estimate since we know density, we can estimate. Cardinality of the set. Actually, it was conjecture, and this conjecture was proved only in 1978 by Karol Brodsky. Just look at this formula. Actually, it is almost explicit formula. The bound is 2f sub d minus 1 of alpha over f sub d of alpha, and where alpha is actually there is some formula what relation between alpha and phi, because alpha phi is a distance, minimum distance, and also it can be defined explicitly. So it is in this case, you know, like it's not a big deal to find this bound using some simple computer, but in 1963 it was a big problem, as I know. Leach helped him, by the way. If you look into Leach helped him, Leach helped Coxeter for computations, and actually what they did, they found bounds for kissing numbers. Dimension 4, 5, 6, and 7, and 8. And here you can see what follows from the Coxeter bound, Coxeter-Brodsky bound, I don't know how to call that, Coxeter-Brodsky bound, because actually it is first published by Coxeter. And the answer is 26, 48, and so on. And the loop, pay attention for two dimensions, 4 and 8. The real answer for 4 dimensions 24, and for 8 dimensions is 240. It is more or less close. However, and what is interesting, he found it's maybe not so It is not so, usually people know about kissing numbers, Cocks are bound for kissing numbers, but not maybe. He found one tight case. Namely, he proved for that for their so-called 600 cell, right. That is, it is gives the answer for the case when we have phi is equal to power 5, 36 degrees. And also we have to call this it in the Brodsky sandbook, it's called Brodsky-Coxeter theorem, something like that. But it is not known, and after many, many years, in the end of 90s, Andreev, and after that, after him, some Bulgarian guys, actually it is rediscovered after many, many years, because, you know, the people from coding theory found using Delsarte method, they proved also this result, and even they proved also uniqueness. Of course, that uniqueness also follows from Coxeter bound. It is not a big deal. So just, and what I'm thinking about that, actually I spent a lot of time to think about Coxeter bound and the Fechter bound. I think it's still, it is not useless, you know. I mean, I still think that we can do something with that. For instance, just a few minutes ago, we discussed with Bob, actually it can be applied immediately for torus, for instance. This formula, for instance, for torus, right? For torus, we have n point on torus, then we have two n triangles. That will be delta of, that's denoted by A, because it is distance, real Euclidean distance, right? We have it is less than area, right? Because 2n, number of triangles for torus, from is follows from all of the characteristics. Delta is the area of a regular Euclidean triangle. Let me, actually, I'm sorry, but let's spend, I don't know, 3 minutes, I will give you a new formula, which immediately follows from H dot A squared square root of 3 over 4, right? Area cancel. We have what? We have M is A over what? Yeah, 2A over square root of 3 A squared. That for free, right? We have immediately. It actually it is proved also by, I don't know who proved that, maybe. It follows, of course, from Brodsky, because he considered it not only spherical case. He proved this Coxeter conjecture for Euclidean, I mean for flat case, for all for the constant curvature. That means, you know, for flat case when curvature is zero, for spherical case, and for hyperbolic. Actually, I don't know what's for hyperbolic. Do you know some applications for hyperbolic case? There are, right? It is known, this is known. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. Thank you. So just, I'm sorry, it's not Brodsky, it's Rogers and Baranovsky, right? Okay, and so, but what is interesting is this formula, actually it is precise for the case, not for spherical torus, it's precise for torus, this one, where we have 60 degrees. Actually, no. And also, I think that Coxeter formula can be, it is interesting to consider also Coxeter bound. For the case, okay, we know one case when it's tight. Namely, we know in two dimensions, we know the case 3, 4, 6, and 12, and we know one case at least in dimension 4. But what about other dimensions? Maybe there are some also, okay, so especially now, maybe I'm just 1 hour ago when I prepared this think about this talk, maybe try to find such cases among so-called universal optimal, which investigated by Conan Elkis, Kohn and Kumar. That's an interesting problem. Then Coxeter bound is tight. Is equality, not inequality, is equality. Okay. So yes, I'm finished this part. It's now I have 25 minutes, and I try to briefly to explain two more methods. Namely, the next method is so-called irreducible graphs, which invented by Schutt and van der Waarden in 1950, there is one paper, and that's one 1951. Let me first to define what is a contact graph. Contact graph is very easy. If you have a set of points, and with any set of points on a sphere, we have already defined psi of x, and we connect two vertices. Actually, points will be vertices of the graph, of the contact graph, and the edges we connect to vertices by h if and only if the distance between these two points is equal to psi of x. Actually, we have always, for any set of points, always is at least one h, right? Always, because it is minimum between points psi of x. Schutt and van der Waarden considered the following, they call the shift of a single vertex. How do you call this one? Translation. Okay, that if you have a graph, right? For instance, if you have only two edges, it can be shifted a little bit, right? Or something. That is why I cannot repeat that, right? Yes. Infinitesimal, see? Okay, that's matter. This is called the shift of single vertex, and also the dancer invented one more operation. If we have points, we can flip it. If we have three vertices, ZX, Y, if we can flip it such that all other distances will be greater than phi, the given phi, then it's called dancer's leap. And there are two definitions. What is a reducible graph? One definition is, even Bob was mentioned here. Yeah, in this slide. Dancer called the graph irreducible if it is no shift and no flips and no shift of vertices. But if we only cannot shift any vertex, I mean this locally rigid, right? In this case, it's called this irreducible, but Bob prefer word jammed arrangement, right? Jammed graph. Actually, proof of the certain sphere problem as well as the solution for Thomas problem based on this very simple notion. Namely, what they did. They considered maximal graphs. Suppose if you have some maximum arrangement with maximum phi of x. In this case, we can investigate some to consider some combinatorial properties of this graph. Of course, you know, we have to base on some simple proposition that if you have contact graph, let denoted by Cj of x be a maximal contact graph Gn, where G sub n it's the graph is a maximal of psi of x, then for when is n is greater or equal to 6, then this graph is irreducible. So irreducible actually has some simple combinatorial properties, namely it is first plane graph since it's we have on our on a sphere. Actually, it is very simple exercise to prove that this graph is it's nor inter that cannot be or edges cannot be cannot intersect each other. And degrees also from elementary geometry follow is that the degree of any vertex is can be zero, isolated vertices, 3, 4, or 5, and their all faces can be is a equilateral convex polygon of side length psi of x, and actually for a given psi of x can be max. Can be found maximum maximum vertices of this of a face, namely it is at most 2 pi over psi. This is, I mean, all of these properties are very simple and like but give us some information. The idea is the following. Okay, this is just it was conjecture. I will explain for our case what we have for certain points. So this is a conjecture. We have a graph, right? It's a real arrangement. We have like in the north pole one vertex and there are four in one parallel, another one, another four, and three, four points like regular. Squares and squares give us together altogether certain points, 12 plus 1. And we can found we can found exactly, not approximately, we can found exactly psi of x, psi of this arrangement, and approximately is 57.1367. 57, approximately 57 points of this. And so idea is the following, how to solve the Tamos problem, how they did that, like, Schutter, van der Waard, and Dancer. They considered, we have already combinatorial properties of irreducible graph, so we can enumerate them. Of course, for small numbers and small now, it is more or less just a few, for instance, for if in the case 7, but for if you increase number of vertices, then it will be more and more and more. And if it is symmetric, more or less symmetric, we can use some other geometric properties, what exactly Dancer did. And however, it is even for 9 and 10, it is a very complicated problem. 9, 10, and 11. Well, 9 it's proved by Schutt and van der Waard, and 10 and 11. Okay. And let's consider, I'm explaining what happened for the case n is equal to 13. The theorem says the arrangement of certain points PCT in S2 is the best possible. PCT is like with this contact graph, and the best possible, the maximum arrangement is unique up to isometry, and PCT is equal to psi of PCT. It's approximately 57.14. Actually, the proof is consists of two lemmas. We need to prove two lemmas. First lemma, first of all, we consider this graph. This is our solution. And we can remove one H two edges, and the last one removed how many? Four edges, right. Four edges. Okay, and the lemma, lemma one is that G13 is isomorphic to one of them, so one of these four graphs, previous graphs, and the lemma two that actually in all these four cases, we have these four cases, but if you consider geometrically, that means, you know, with the removed edges, actually it is the same, has the same length. It's a geometric problem. So, but the problem is, of course, first lemma, how to prove that. They did it, I mean, all classical problems, they did it using some geometry, but we did it like very direct and straight approach. I consider it a stupid approach, you know, because it's like without any complicated mathematics. Actually, we already have, what do we have? Properties of this graph is the following. It's a Fermi graph with certain vertices. The degree of a vertex is 0, 3, 4, or 5. All faces are polygons with 3, 4, 5, or 6 vertices. And if this is 4 and 5, it's proved by Brodsky and Szabo before, like, that if there is an isolated vertex, then it lies on a hexagonal face. And no more than one vertex can lie, as outer vertex can lie on a in a hexagonal face. This is like combinatorial properties. The idea is the following: to create list of all possible graphs which satisfy these five properties, and after that, using some geometry to remove from this list, you know, some graphs using computer. Okay. This list of graphs, can you imagine, can consist of almost 95 million graphs. I thought before that maybe, I don't know, maybe 200, 300, it's even possible. when we use this program, it's called Plantree, Gunnar Brinkman and Brandon Mankey, who developed this program, and give us immediately, almost, I don't know, like 20 minutes, after 20 minutes, they give us this number, list of all graphs, 95 million, you know, right? When we found that with Taras, I was like, wow, what we can do with that. And after that, we use some geometry, like geometric properties and linear programming. It's very similar what Hales did, actually, very similar. Even in our case, it may be maybe not so complicated. And the problem, it works approximately 1 week. I mean, some regular PC, regular laptop, you know, it's not a big deal. If you use some good computers or parallel computations, it will be of course it's much less. So and finally using some relation between variables, and finally, okay, it gives us it proves lemma one. So lemma one is completely 100% in computer based proof, because no way to investigate 95 million, right? It is clear what happened with why it is not proved. I mean, during this how many years? I don't know, almost 50 years. It was not solved. Lemma two is actually geometry, and I proved that it's shown why of how to prove that I investigate we investigated this H, for instance, fundamentally moved it, like it can be found either. Can be fired only in one position if this graph is exist, it's a contact graph if you don't leave this H is equal to to all other in the graph. So this is geometry. It's not also easy, but I remember that I spent like, I don't know, maybe 2-3 weeks using like geometry, draw some picture formulas. And to prove that. But however, if you computer, I mean computer based, it's immediately easy, clear that it is us. Okay, and here actually, I just to repeat what I discussed 2 months ago, a lot of interesting possibilities. First of all, how to first possibility to increase number of points, for instance, for 14. 14, I believe, is still possible. But if we try to do that for more, I don't think that it's possible, because it will be like 95 minutes, after it will be billions, I don't know, more and more. And so we have to do something, because to develop some mathematics. And one of possibility, we discussed also already 2 years with Bob, to use maybe this, his idea about this rigidity, the segregated structure. It will help us to decrease number of cases. I believe it can. And another problem that we already also start discussing, I'm happy that that Bob is also interested about that. It's a torus case. For torus case, we can repeat. It's very interesting that it also have a practical interest, because I knew this problem from Daniel Yusikov, who is an image processing expert, and he works for Sony, and he's real for square torus that actually it is need for application. Points, like he said, that up to 20. Even for 10, it's give us. So we can do that. It's possible to use based on the same idea, this straight approach, maybe to enumerate. What we're doing also, we decided to enumerate all graphs with Alexei, and there actually Dancer did it for his irreducible graphs up to 10, and we would like to first extend, not only consider only Dancer's irreducible graphs, it's also Gen graphs. It is also interesting from practical point of view, because if you have item like if you have it gives us also enumeration all cases. If you have some central, if I say central atom, right, of some of a certain radius, the question is to enumerate all the locally rigid configuration. And I also have in my department, there is some, not my department, he's from physics department, Karen, and he told me that it is for nanotechnology, it is a very important problem, and they need it actually, such. And so we started to do that, and we did it up to their 10, but for their 7 we have only 2 gen graphs. For 8 we have 4. For 9 we have 8, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 gen configuration arrangements. And for 10 we have 30. This is all graph. Okay. So we are going to continue this work. Actually, it's our goal up to 14. But after that, I don't think it's possible. It's not possible, I believe. To enumerate all graphs. And the last, I'm sorry, 7 minutes, but let me briefly to discuss this linear program with SDP. Actually, linear programming, SDP same different programming paper which appeared recently, list of papers, very short. If you compare with linear programming, I don't know, several hundred, maybe 1,000 papers, but here only 7 papers. Schreiber, who published first paper 6 years ago. It's another paper, Schreiber and Tana, with Gies, with his students and Tanaka. It's another, but it's not a spherical case. It is actually this case for Hamming space, and I mean cube based on the Hamming, and for some other. But first paper is published by Bashok and Valentin. They presented this works and appeared only 3 years ago, and they published 3 papers already, and plus one more. It is not only this list, but it's not actually these papers. They always, you know, added something new from theoretical point of view. But there is also one more paper. Frank Valentin and with his co-author, they consider it Kissing number. They improved this table, this Kissing number, bound for upper bound for Kissing numbers, the dimension up to 23. That's the maximum dimension. He told me that the program, you know, this is a problem, you know, almost 2 years, you know, to compute this new bound. Almost 2 years, can you imagine? It is because it's a multivariate polynomial. And also, one is published, and I have no time to complete. I submitted it to archive, actually to archive, I submitted it in one journal, and then I received actually more or less positive review, 5 reviews, and they asked me to find some any application. They said we are joined by mathematics, but any new number. But I try to do that because it is. I spent 3 months for programming, but however, it is very complicated because in some cases I have 100,000 variables. You know, my laptop doesn't work, you know, for this number. So yes, unfortunately, it is not easy. I don't know. So I don't know what happened with this problem. But actually, I cannot complete this problem. Maybe I hope my help will be some group, you know, that who is going to. In this case, I can say, okay, you know, guys, you can. This, my method works. You can see that. Okay, but here this real programming and semi-definite programming. Let me just to discuss this history of this problem. Actually, it appeared very in the end of 17th century when Laplace and Legendre invented so-called Legendre polynomials in 3 dimensions, and Gegenbauer. They knew so-called positive definite properties of these polynomials, and Gegenbauer actually extended it for all dimensions. And first who published this property, it was Schoenberg. Positive definite property. It was Schoenberg who, in 1942, published paper. And he actually, under Bochner, extended this property for so-called two-point homogeneous spaces for very general case. What is this property? The property is the following. Suppose we have. Let me explain for the spherical case. What is a positive definite function? If we have set of, actually it works only for any space. Suppose we have a function, and any set of points, finite set of points from X, then this function is called positive. Yeah, that is okay. That's it. We have Okay, we have a matrix Aij. Suppose we have n points here, and let's consider function f is called positive definite if for entries, it is like the function, this function, universal function of two distances, right? And suppose this matrix AG, we say that the function is positive definite if and only if this this matrix is positive, is positive semi-definite. Yeah, this is the definition of positive function. They knew, and Schoenberg considered actually this case, explicitly to explain. But physicists and the in mechanics, in mathematical physics, they use this property. I mean, what I'm talking about is the matrix is positive semi-definite. And this is the only in 1970s, this is my last slide, in 70s, namely in 1972, Delsarte published his paper. Sedelnik considered actually, he found this positive definite property, but for a very, for a very simple function like x to the 2k plus 1, f of x, but not like for Gegenbauer polynomials. And Levenstein and Kabatinsky and Levenstein, this is their, Delsarte was considered also Delsarte et al., Delsarte, Gödel, Seidel, found this bound, so-called Delsarte bound, for spherical case. And Levenstein in 1974, they proved that the Kissing number in dimension 8 to 24, and independently at least Sloan, based on this positive definite properties. And there are many, many other, I don't know how many papers are published in this direction. I believe in a thousand. A lot of it is one of the most powerful methods in coding theory and discrete geometry, actually, to not so many experts in this area. And Kohn, Elkes, and Kumar extended this method for Euclidean space, because all other, all methods before, all papers that consider spherical case or Hamming space, or some other so-called two-point homogeneous spaces, all of them are compact. Well, the problem is that for non-compact spaces, it cannot be applied directly, and Kohn-Elkes and Kumar extended for Euclidean space. And after that, there are the new one, and you know, like I consider a combination of the method number two. I mean, the second method, I mean, irreducible graphs and the this Delsarte method. And after that, this is this SDP. Like an SDP, we have like even I put here even Manson, right? For instance, like Bashok and Valentin, look at mine. In September, in August, 1 month before, it's a different method, SDP application by Bashok and Valentin, and also he, 2 months later, he found an extension and so on. It's in the list, actually. Look in this list. 2006, and it's okay, like January 2007, in the list. It's no more extension, I mean by method. It's very complicated. I told you, and the highly computational method. Maybe I don't know. They try to. They also, and Frank and Christine, they try to do something, but for chromatic numbers, but not for state packing. For state packing, actually, we need some more ideas. Thank you. Thank you. But it's already time.